the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. So lovely to see you all. I've been away for several weeks on vacation, but it's nice to be back. Today is a special day. Before I get to the reasons why, I want to articulate that the Book of Common Prayer, the document that unifies us as the Episcopal Church and part of the Anglican Communion, that red book in the pews that we don't ever touch, don't worry, don't touch it now. But at the end of it, there is this thing called the Catechism. It's a kind of a cool sort of poetic overtake of what the Church is all about. And it says that the purpose of the Church is to reconcile the world to God in Christ. So every Episcopal Church has the ultimate goal of reconciling the world to God in Christ, or as Jesus says, to go forth and make disciples, baptize all nations. But that's a pretty universal statement. So how do we do it uniquely in our local context? And I have a friend of mine who brilliantly said, the saint that you are named after, look to that person for the unique capacity for your call to live out that greater call in our daily lives. So today, we celebrate the saint that we are named after, Saint Mary. Mary, the Mother of God, or is sometimes traditionally called Mary the Virgin. However, I believe her earliest name was Theotokos, which is Greek for the God-bearer. So Mary, how did Mary live out this call of Christ in her life, and how can Mary invite us to do it as well? Well, I've said this before, I think it's been a while since I've said it, but I've always interpreted that we here at St. Mary's can follow St. Mary's example by receiving the love of God and bearing Christ into the world. Our call, uniquely in this context of San Francisco in today's age, is to reconcile the world to God in Christ by receiving that love of Christ, of God, and making it manifest, making it tangible, making it real in the world around us through the way we live. You've heard me say it, and I'll say it again today. Actually, no, I won't, because you're presiding. But when I preside before the Eucharist, I always say that we're now going to turn our attention to this table, or we'll first witness and then participate in the very becoming of God among us. First is bread and wine, then into our lives through that bread and wine, and then into the world through our lives. In fact, let's geek out for a moment. Does anybody remember the Reformation? The Catholic Church, Martin Luther, there was a big fight over what was actually happening at the Eucharist. The Catholics believed in transubstantiation. I'll have to do an adult forum on this. That the bread and wine literally become the body and blood of Christ, and Luther believed or taught consubstantiation. And he compared it to when you put a hot poker, metal poker, into a fire long enough, the poker becomes both metal poker and fire. You get it? And they were killing each other in Europe over this. So Richard Hooker, who was an early Anglican Episcopal theologian, into this argument, this fray, comes up with the Episcopal understanding of the real presence of Christ. And he goes, it is a mystery, an absolute mystery of what's going on in the bread and wine. But where there is certainty is that the presence of Christ can be found in the person who participates in the Eucharist. So this concept that we are called to send forth to be agents, instruments of God's real presence, bearing Christ into the world, is true to Anglicanism and the Episcopal Church since the day we were created. So in one sense, I want you to walk away from this morning being like, how can I receive the love of God by coming to church, by being of service, by singing, by meditating, by reading Scripture? How can I receive that grace and love that is around us continually, that God is passionately pursuing us with, that we are deeply loved, and then bear that into the world? The other thing that Mary does that I want all of us to do, and in fact we will do it corporately in just a moment, as we reaffirm our baptismal vows, is that Mary says yes to God. We have a child, a young woman, of an occupied nation, of an oppressed, you know, culture, who gets told by an angel, basically a death sentence. To bear a child outside of wedlock back then was incredibly dangerous. And yet to this vision, she says yes. And then basically sings, proclaims through scripture, the Magnificat is a compilation of Hebrew scripture, the glories of what God will promise, is promising, is making real through Christ's presence in our world. And then there's something that you are actually correct. It is Paul's letter to the Galatians. We had a nice little typo there. It's the cracks in the sidewalk that allow the city to breathe. Paul reminds us in Galatians what Jesus says in Scripture, that God should not simply be called Father. Father, in terms of religion, was creator. It wasn't so much parental. It was that this is the one who creates us. But Jesus invites us all, and Paul reaffirms it, that we should call God Abba, which is Aramaic for what you and I would understand as mommy, daddy, papa, daddy. This is an intimate, loving, visceral word that a young child would call their mom or dad. My kids are, 15 and 12, and so they actually, like, every now and then I'll say, well, mommy said this, and they go, don't call her mommy, she's not mommy, she's mom. We don't call her mommy anymore. But I miss that, and that visceral sense of when a child, when my kids, maybe when your kids or yourself, when you hear mama or mommy, my heart melts. And God wants us to see God as that loving, intimate parent, that mama, that papa. That is how much God loves us. Now, maybe we don't come from the most loving parents, so if that's true, I'm sorry for you. No parent is perfect, but if that is not your immediate connection, I hope you find that one adult who you did feel that for. Maybe it's a grandparent, maybe it's an aunt, maybe it's a friend. But whoever you felt loved you deeply when you were a child, vulnerable and dependent on them, that's how God is inviting you to treat God. That we, you, all of us are loved as a child loves their mama and their papa. So we get to celebrate a baptism today. Young Wilhelmina right here, we are going to say yes to her. First her parents and her godparents, and then all of us that we will support her life in Christ. Eventually, someday when she's older, if she chooses in confirmation, she will say yes as well to that life of love and grace. And there's a line in this that the parents talk about. It says, when you put your whole trust in Christ, yes, amen, Christ's grace and love. And so today, in just a minute, when we do that, I want you to remember that you are loved. And from that place of deep belovedness, that place of which is ultimately the fullness of who God is, to remember that love and be present to that love wherever you are in life, with whoever you are. You're not going to do it perfectly, but that's okay, because we are loved perfectly. So hopefully we get a little better at it as we practice, but that wherever you are and whoever you're with, you can rely on God. As a child relies on, leans into, and loves a mama or a papa. Let you be inspired today by Mary, by these upcoming baptismal words, by Wilhelmina's very presence, that you are loved. So go forth and be a presence of love as well. Amen.